Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We have been in 21 days of consecration, and it's not a human call. It's a spiritual and a prophetic call for us as God's children to encounter Him, to go from glory to glory. Amen? Amen. I want to ask you a question. We all have desires, we have aspirations, we have goals, we have expectation. So a human being is born here. When he's born into this world, there's an aspiration, there's an expectation. That human being has the capacity, because of aspiration, because of expectation, because of goals, able to go change from here and come here and becomes an engineer. Amen? Amen. Another person with an aspiration and a goal is a human being, changes from here and comes here and becomes a doctor. Another person goes from here and with goals and aspiration, goes from here, comes here, and becomes a computer person, and fixes cars or builds houses, or has a business. That person goes from here and comes here and meets those goals and those aspirations and begins to function in that capacity in this world. And that goal and aspiration gives them influence and purpose for this earthly world. Amen? Amen. So, between here, you can have twins here, born the same day, born of the same parents, grew up in different place. One of them, they both born of the same parents. But both of them come here, twins. One of them might love a certain group of people. This one might love a certain group of people. What happened? There is a word in the Bible called transformation. Transformation is the progressive change that takes place in our minds from here until we become what we want to be here. Between here and here is a window of opportunity. We call it a school. It can be a trade, it can be whatever. But what we popularly know as school is a place you come to, you gather, you pay for it. And there are teachers, there are people there. They are specialists in different subjects, in different areas, and they begin to train you and impact this to your mind, and you begin to train, and you go through seasons and seasons and seasons. If it's college, maybe 4 years. If it's more specialist needed, it's more 7 years. You go through this whole period. It's a period of transformation because of knowledge being imputed into you before you get here. But there's something that comes with knowledge, is the testing. Every training here comes with testing. You don't go to the next level until you're tested. You don't go to the next level until you're tested. You pass, you go to the next grade. You pass, you go to the next grade. You finish this, you go to the specialist course, or you go to the doctorate course. You go period of time until you come here and they say, they could put a doctor to your name, or this to your name, or a billionaire to your name, or this to your name. You now earn, you've earned something that you use as an influence, a capacity to change lives, to be somebody. It happens here. Another thing that happens with this picture is it can never happen. Is if a sheep is here, a sheep, like goats and sheep, there is nothing they go through here that will make them come here and become a lion. Never. No amount of change, no amount of transformation they go through here that will make them go from here, a sheep or a goat, come here and turns to a lion. It can happen. They don't have that capacity for transformation. For transformation to take place, you must be made in that DNA, that image and likeness. Amen? So if we understand this principle in the human form, God says, I have made you in my image and my likeness. I've made you in my image and my likeness. But there's a school that you have to go to that after the training and the testing between here and here, you come to this place that God can truly say, this is my son. And you can truly say, yes, daddy. A human being cannot call God his father. But you can call another human being that brought you into this world your father. But for you to get here, to really say, God, you are my father, something has to happen here. The natural human being that we are is fallen. It cannot be like God. It cannot operate in the realms of the kingdom of God. It's only subject to this world and subject to Satan in the spirit. For you to change and come here and change the atmosphere of your life and say and embrace the kingdom of God and have the influence of the kingdom and God to say, this is my son, and you say, you are my father. Something has to happen here. A DNA change has to take place. And we call it born again. If you are not born again, you cannot enter. You cannot be transformed in the kingdom of God. It's not possible. It's just like you can't take a sheep and make him a lion. You cannot be a human being and be a son of God. It's not possible. It's falling. So for us to be born again, Jesus came, died for us, and gave us the opportunity by the power of the Holy Spirit. The moment we receive his mercy, we are born again. What does it mean to be born again? It doesn't mean that you change this cloth you're wearing. It just means supernaturally somebody else comes inside of you. And it's a spiritual person. A lot of people think Christianity is just changing by moral, by behavior, by being nice. Just how I am as a human being. That's not being born again. Because if that's all it is, when you are faced with pressure here, like Peter did, when you're faced with pressure, like most people in the Bible is, you will find out you're not who you're supposed to be. If you're faced with pressure here, you will hate, you will kill, you will murder, you will do anything that you do to justify your pain. Because you're human. You don't have the capacity to love those who hate you. You don't have the capacity to pray for those who despise you. You don't have the capacity to do good to your enemies. It's not in a human being to do that. It's not possible for a goat or a sheep to behave like a lion. That's the same way it's not possible for a human being under pressure to love his enemy. That's the reason why you know a Christian by the manifestation of their fruit of God under pressure. So, as it's so impossible For a sheep to become a lion, that's how impossible it is for a normal human being to act like a Christian. Because under pressure, you find out whether you're a Christian or not. So to be a Christian is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. God has to do it. It can't be by works. It can't be any good thing you do. It has to be supernatural. It's only God by grace. That's why the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. So now, when we experience God here, and a supernatural, something so supernatural happens on your heart, in your inside, and another human being is, a supernatural being comes inside of you called your inner man. Your spirit man is inside of you. Amen.
Amen.
That seed that is inside of you, the Bible calls it incorruptible. The seed, the DNA of Christ, the Son of God. It's inside of you. Just like a pregnant woman has somebody inside, on the inside of them. You have God's seed inside of you. That's what it means to be born again. He said, Jesus says, except to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, you can't see the kingdom. Except a man, you can't enter into. It's not possible for a sheep to be a lion. It's not just possible. So trying to be a human being and do the things of God is not possible. It's religion. The things of God are supernatural. The church is not a natural atmosphere. Amen?
Amen.
That's introduction. Now, what the Lord just shared with us, something has to happen. If you understand what the Lord just shared with us about the change that takes place from here to here, you will know the reason why the church is not the church today. We have trained the church to be human. We have taught them that the church is a social club. We are here to make sure we just do it a little bit differently. We train your children, bring them, we train them in our schools. We help them, we do a lot of things that the world does, but we do it a little bit different with the Bible and give them a good moral upbringing. So we create an atmosphere. And we are born again, but we create a social environment that brings in a lot of people, but doesn't teach them about dying to their old nature. Because it's impossible for you to keep your old nature and also live for Christ. It's not possible. So, the teaching of the church, biblical teaching, if it does not transform you, it does not have the cross in it. Because the Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of the gospel. The preaching of the cross is simply a training that crucifies everything that you feel that is human to give you what is supernatural. Even though you are wearing a human jacket. The church has never been natural. It's supernatural. From the beginning, born by grace, kept by grace, lives by grace, and by faith. So, if you bring born-again Christians to a building, to a place, and all we do is entertain them a little bit better than the world, and empower them to live a normal and a wonderful, happy life. The problem is, when they finally come before Jesus here, he says, I don't know you. Why? Because there was no change. There's no fruit to show we carry the same DNA. Why? Because We have looked at numbers as the criteria for true Christianity. Let me give you an example. If we are human, human, look at this human person as a sheep. Sheep. The sheep has his DNA. Now, if you bring a sheep to this house, a natural sheep, if I bring a sheep here, if I bring a sheep, Cynthia and Coca drags them in here, all of us will go, the sheep will go, bah, 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 bah. Even little kids will play with the sheep. But if I bring a lion and bring it, Coca and Cynthia will see the lion and run away. They will close the door. They won't even let the lion come here. But if they are not there and the lion walks in there, what do you think will happen to this place? Some people will jump these pews. Why? Because it's a lion. The Bible says the DNA of the kingdom we serve, he has two characters. One is the lamb. That is his milk nature. The other is a lion. If we as Christians are supposed to be lions, you could imagine why the whole world, why the church, we are like sheep. There's nothing wrong to be sheep. But where is the lion aspect of us? The devil is not afraid of us. We are afraid of the devil. But the Bible says the righteous are as what? Bold as a lion. So, my brothers and sisters, what we're trying to do here, what the Lord is teaching us to do is, we are human, fallen. We don't need to be born again if we are all right. We don't need to be born again if we have spiritual influence to the situation that is happening in our environment. But now that we are born again, Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, if you have time, go read it, because we're going to look at some things this morning. Just prepare your heart. Galatians chapter 4, Paul says that though we are lords, though a child of God is Lord, he carries the DNA of a lion, that's a lordship of Christ. He says, but as long as we are still children, we still act like human beings. We're still like children, meaning we're like children, even though in us is we carry the DNA of a kingdom that gives us the capacity of the Holy Spirit to make a difference, spiritually speaking. So he says, but as long as we remain children, a social club, just enjoying and doing what the whole world is doing, he said, we cannot really come to the reality of who we really are. So how do we get to becoming a lion? How do we get to becoming, experiencing the fullness, the capacity of what it means to be born again? You can't be a doctor there. You can't be an engineer there. You all know. You can't be computer, what it is, without going to a school, a training or some things. The same way, for transformation to take place, Paul says in Hebrews 12, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is he talking about? That we might know what is the will of God. What is the will of God? The acceptable, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we might know what who we really are and the capacity that our identity carry. How do we do that? He says we have to go to a school also. And that school ought to transform us to the point where we now say, though I am in this world, though I wear this jacket, but by reason of this training, I'm now understand I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. My brothers, when the Bible, you hear the Bible say, this is my son, Jesus, or Paul says, I'm a son, or John says, below how beautiful, how wonderful it is that God has called us his children, his son. When those phrases is different from being babes, children. Because Paul says, as long as we're children, we don't really know who we are, just like children, though we are born again. But for us to really walk in identity, we have to go through the school of the Holy Spirit. And Galatians says, when we now come, verse 7, when we now know that we are sons, then there is a mantle, there's a privilege, there's a capacity heaven has given us. He says, now we are heirs of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That is just Bible. We don't believe it's attainable. So, from here to here, if so far you can understand, from here to here, there has to be a school. That's what Ephesians 3 talks about. That's the purpose of the teaching, the apostles, is to build, to raise up, to train the church for them to know who they are and to know they are, everybody here is a minister of God. And has a calling and a capacity to serve God in their platforms of life. You don't have to stand here to be a minister. You are a minister wherever you walk, wherever you function. You don't need to be sent. You are already sent. Wherever you're walking, wherever your field is, you're already sent. You just need to be aware of who you are in that environment. Amen. And shine. This is a training place. So, there's a scripture in Romans chapter 8. It says, the whole world is groaning. Where are the children of God? Where are the sons of God? They are groaning. And we are here. We are here with them. And they are saying, where are the sons of God? Where are the sons of God? Where are the children of God? Amen? Amen. Now, let's take the next level. Let's use one man as an example. Moses was here. And I will get to why the Lord is saying this morning. It's 21 days. Before I go any further, let me ask you. If you have 200 sheep, 4,000 sheep in a building, everybody's happy. But you know, if you have one lion in that building, you have some power there. Amen. You catch this at home. One lion can make a place where a stadium shake. People will be running everywhere. One lion come in there. I'm talking in the spirit. But you can have a lot of sheep. So let's look at one man. Moses was here. And the rest of the children of Israel, they were here. All of them were under the bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt, type of the world, Satan, power, everything. In Egypt, they were all there. You know, sometimes when I come out of sharing what God has put in my spirit. I said, Father, this is too deep. This is just too much for... He says, no. Speak the word. He says, there are people here that need meat than milk. And David, a young boy, grew up to be a giant. If it's just one person you are speaking for, obedience means all the difference. Amen? Amen. So I pray you're the one that I'm speaking to. Here, Moses lived in. The rest of the children lived in it. Let me ask you one question. The Bible says they were under Egypt, a type of the world. Who was the god? Pharaoh. What were they working? Everything they were doing in Egypt, they were subject to the influence of Pharaoh and building pyramids and doing everything. Guess what, my brothers and sisters? They are the children of God, Israel, physically. If I don't see things physically, it's hard for me to understand spiritually. So God uses this parallel to clarify things. These are God's children. But now, they are living a life the Bible considers as they were enslaved to this culture and systems of Egypt. They lost their identity. And they were there. Before I go further, before they got to that place, before there was somebody, there was a lion God raised up. There was a child of God God raised up that knew his calling and his purpose. He once lived in Egypt. He ruled over Egypt. His name was Joseph. He understood his purpose. He went to the school of character transformation. He went to the school and he knew who he was. So when he was in Egypt, his place was to rule in Egypt. And he did. When they lost that identity, before and the time of Moses, the children of Israel were still there, but Egypt was in charge. They had children, they multiplied, they had houses, they did everything, but God was not in control. They were not in control. Pharaoh was, and the gods of Pharaoh. So listen to what transformation did. God told Moses, listen, Moses had favor with Pharaoh. He could have been king in Egypt, but still he's not in charge spiritually. So God said, Moses, you know what? This is a type and shadow. I'm going to bring you out of this place. He brought Moses out and took Moses to a 40 years of the training of the Holy Spirit. You know, the way God trains us is not the way the world trains us. Amen? Amen. The world trains us to be somebody in the human level. God trains us to die to everything we are in this world. So we can be everything God wants us to be. They are two opposites. So Moses was trained for 40 years in the school of the Holy Ghost. It's called wilderness. Amen. Amen. You all know the story. So what happened after 40 years of training? Everybody was here in Egypt. Moses was in the same bondage. He was afraid of Pharaoh. Everything was here. After 40 years of training, God came to Moses and said, you're my son now. Moses said, what? God said, you're my son now. Because from here, I will walk with you as a father. I'll go with you wherever you go. Moses, I can't talk. I can't. He says, now you are qualified because now, we are together. So God said, okay, Moses, we are going back to that Egypt. Because the people there are crying, where are the sons of God? Where are the children of God? And the inheritance and the power they carry. Because only the children of God say, greater is he that is in you, the lion in you, the kingdom of God, than that is in the world. So after Moses received training, God said, now let's go back to Egypt because I hear the cry. They are crying for the kingdom to come, or the kingdom of God is crying for somebody to know who they are and be trained. Doctors Sorry, I'm going back to this. You have to get it. Somebody goes from here. By the time they get here, it's a doctor. And by the time they come back here from school, people are crying, I'm going to die. My knee, my stomach. And the doctor says, okay. They do one thing and do the other. You're fine. A cry has been made. But this is a supernatural cry. This is a supernatural cry. Somebody has to pay the price to lay down the natural to inherit the supernatural. Because the problem here can never be solved in the natural. Because Pharaoh, Satan says, it's my kingdom. They will do what I say. They will run my kingdom. They will run whatever I put them. And that's the word. So what happened? Moses became the now empowered, certified by God, and God followed him, and they came to Egypt and said, Pharaoh, you must let this people go. Hallelujah! Amen. Pharaoh thought he was the old Moses. Amen? You know how you came out, you were once a harlot, or struggle, you came out, you were once a thief or religion, like Paul. You came out, you get born again, you get saved, radically transformed like Mary and all this, and people don't know who you are anymore. They are still looking at you as that person, but something has happened. You are born again. You know who you are. You're just wearing a jacket. And that's, so Pharaoh said, who are you? Amen? The devil still asks the questions you today. When you're going to trials, he's asking you, who are you? Why do I have to release this or do this? So Moses came and told Pharaoh, let the people go. Pharaoh said, who are? He says, the God of my fathers, the God of Jacob that ruled, the God of Abraham. He said, who is that God? When you can get the devil to question God, you're in the right place. Because God will answer for you. So when Pharaoh asked that, Moses said, okay, God. He said, who are you? God said, okay, I'll tell you who I am. He hit him one plague. Pharaoh was another plague. The next plague. The third plague. Finally, when God was done with Pharaoh, Pharaoh went to Moses and said, please, 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 please. Take everything you want and please pray for me. That's the Son of God. As an image of a lion that came to town. And one man that has found his identity, has gone through the school, has passed the test, has matured, God says, now I put a seal, I go with you. And they came to Egypt, one man with God. It's not the number. Those who know their God will be strong and they will do exploits. One man came, the cry, the burdens, the pain, suddenly God pulls them out supernaturally and brought them into their restored their identity. Amen? Restore their identity and cause them to go to school so they can possess their promise. Amen? So, that happened with the children of Israel, and that happened with us and Christ. We're in this world, Israel in the physical. Exactly the same season Moses was sent, all the things happened, they shared the lamb and they came out of Egypt. The same season Jesus came for us. And the same season Jesus died for us. And the same season he rose up and he says, if anyone will receive him, on the day of Pentecost, from resurrection to Pentecost was 50 days. 7 times 7 plus 1, 49 plus 150. That day, Jesus, the church was born. 3,000 people came to accept Christ. And the sons of God, from that day, changed the whole world. They went back to the Egypt of their time. From 12 to 120, 220 to 3,000, they changed the world. And they are the reason why we have this today. Amen. But there's something that is in man that Satan understands. Satan knows that without knowledge, people perish. And he knows that when we don't apply knowledge, we don't change. So Satan has never changed his tricks from the garden, from when Joseph left and disciple came. Satan always comes to steal our identity. Because once he steals our identity, we become a different people and the world enslaves us. We are enslaved by, we are totally sold out to the culture of the world. He knows that. So what has become a pattern is this. God told the children of Israel. He knows that. So when they came out, God told Moses, tell the children of Israel, just obey me and you always be blessed. But the moment you start disobeying me, you fall back again to the world and you'll be judged. He gave them the principle of blessing and curses. Amen? Amen. So the children of Israel will obey God. God will lift them up. God will bless them. God will raise up men and women to bring them back. But then, when the whole nation backslides, they go back to captivity. God brings them back because of the promise. So there's a principle that God uses to do individual restoration, family restoration, and national restoration. The body of Christ experiences a national breakthrough. And that principle is what I want to share with you. And the reason I want to share the principle with you, you will see very soon, is one of the reasons we are consecrating these 21 days. Because without repentance, there's no restoration. So I want to share this principle with you in a very few minutes. If you want to open your Bibles to Leviticus, we'll look at the principle in the physical, and then we can look at it spiritually, because that's what we want to pray into this morning. Amen? For change. We are in the season of transformation. Change. God is changing. So if you open to Leviticus 25, you know, started in 23, but we read from 20. Read from 25. I'm going to go really quickly from verse 8. Leviticus 25 verse 8. And thou, God was speaking to Moses now, this is a spiritual principle, said, thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49. 49 Sabbaths, 49 sevens. Verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Verse 10. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall restore every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall the 50th year be. A jubilee shall the 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself, neither gather the grapes in thy vine undressed. Verse 12. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. you shall eat the increase thereof of the land. In the year of this jubilee, there will be restoration. It shall return every man unto his possession. Because of the illustrations I've given, I pray that you can connect, because I can. There's so much to share about this, but I want to go into the principle and tell you why I'm praying. Jubilee is God restoring things, not just to the original state he intended, but better. Jubilee is like when God brought the children of Israel out of bondage, out of slavery, out of poverty, out of pain, and miraculously brought them out, placed them in a land of milk and honey, gave them power, gave them influence. They ruled over the world in the days of Solomon and David, and gave them possession. They were the head. They were not the tail. They were inheritance of God. They were the chosen of God. They were the apple of God's eyes. God fought their battle. Nation feared them. They were the chosen of God. Amen. They walked in it. Yeah. But when they sinned and they rebelled and they backslid, they fell back to that original state. But this time, they fell back to Babylon. Babylon, now not Egypt, enslaved them for 70 years. Scattered them all over the place. Amen? Amen. But now God promised that he will restore. He will return them. That's what we just read. So God gave a promise to Israel. He said every 50 years, he will forgive their debt. If anyone was owing money because of bad business or this, they use their children, you know, I can't go into, you can read in the Bible, they use their children as collaterals and stuff. After a while, a man can have 5 or 6 of your children serving you as your slaves because they couldn't pay the debt financially. So he's saying every 50 years, whether it's a house, whether it's children, whether it's money, whatever the situation is, God cancels it, and everything is returned to the original owner. They return it better. Let's say somebody took your land because you couldn't pay. The year of Jubilee, if your land is full of crops and trees, they will return it with everything inside. So they look forward to the year of Jubilee. It's the year of forgiveness. Forgiveness of debt. Forgiveness of everything. It's a cycle. Amen? Because of God's covenant. So the year of Jubilee is the year of joy. It's the year of liberty. It's the year of freedom. Amen? Amen? Another sign of the year of Jubilee was when they came out of Egypt. They came out of into freedom. They emptied Egypt's money. There was a wealth transfer. They rejoiced. Then, when they backslid and went to Babylon, that was when they came out of Babylon after 70 years. That was another year of Jubilee. They came out of Babylon and God gave them the wealth of Babylon. They rebuilt their temple. God reestablished them. That was a Jubilee. Amen? Amen. It's always when God turns the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. That's what that scripture is. It's the year of Jubilee. It says we're full with laughter. Even people say God has done great things. They were beyond joy. It's the year of Jubilee. Now, that's the patterns of Jubilee. For individuals, here is a pattern of Jubilee for individuals. There's a woman called Hannah. She's been praying. She's been barren for a long time. That's pain. That's pain. That's pain. She was miserable. It was bad for her. One time, she went into prayer 1 year in the fifth season. God visited her. God gave her a blessing. A promise that year. And she got a breakthrough. She just had her first baby within that year and her 5 children after. That year was the beginning of her Jubilee. It's when the impossible happens that brings you to your original expectation of what God can do. Amen. Amen. A man cannot do it. It's a year of jubilee. That was a personal jubilee. Another person with a separate personal jubilee was Zechariah. This man was a servant serving God and his wife. They were blameless. You all know it in the book of Luke chapter 1 and 2. And they were serving God, but they had no children. So it was a mockery. It was that. But on the year of his personal jubilee, he was praying during this feast, this time of prayer, and God appeared to him. And God said, Zechariah, your time has come. God has remembered you. And that very season, Elizabeth had a baby. That was the beginning of their jubilee. Another person with a jubilee testimony, personal testimony, is a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman soldier that loved the Jews and embraced their culture and their beliefs. And God was blessing him. He prospered in many ways. He helped, but he wanted more of God. He was crying for God, but he wasn't qualified. He was crying. So finally, one moment, God visited him with an angel and said, Cornelius, all this time you've been praying, God took record of it. And the time has come. God is going to bless you. So God sent to Peter. Peter came and said, Cornelius, the promise of God has come. Guess what? His jubilee was not just for him. It was for him and his family and everybody around him. He came before Peter could preach. God poured out his spirit upon him. He was hungry for more of God. He got an overdose of God. Amen? That was a personal jubilee. That was when Cornelius' jubilee began. You can go all through the Bible. Abraham was a rich man, a wonderful man, a great man, loved God, served God, was rich, was everything. But there was one thing that God promised him he's never seen come to pass. Everything has come to pass except this Isaac is not come to pass. And the promise of Isaac was his message all his life to everybody that knew him. So Sarah's womb died, impossible, and the time came, everybody was mocking. 25 years after God visited him on that day, the Lord came with two angels, and God says, Abraham, this very season, this cycle of time, Sarah will carry a child. And Sarah laughed. My brothers, you know why they call it Sarah laughed? Why the Bible says it was like a dream. Psalms. Because there are expectations that we don't expect anymore. They are so impossible. There are miracles that doesn't enter our minds that God can do anymore. There are things God has promised us. We just think God is human and God is just, we just have laid it down because we prayed for it for so long. We waited for so long. And to us, it's too impossible, physically and everywhere possible. It's impossible. That's where Abraham was. Abraham already compromised. God, just let me have what is natural. I'm content. God says, no. I give you that promise. I will bring it to pass. So Abraham's jubilee began when that visitation came in that season. And it says, this season, this cycle of time, you can go read it. Sarah will have a child. And that very season, Sarah had a child. Amen? My brothers and sisters, jubilee is the time when, from everything I've shared with you so far, the year of jubilee begins for an individual, for a church, for a nation, for the body of Christ, when God begins to pour out his spirit in an unusual way again. So for the church, Jesus is our jubilee. Amen. He came, paid the price for us, paid for our debts. Amen? Amen? He covered all our debts in his blood. Our sickness debt, our financial debt, our sin debt to righteousness, our poverty debt to riches, everything that we were indebted to Satan and judgment and condemnation. From debt, he gave us life. From debt, he brought us into the riches of the kingdom. He brought us from darkness to light. He paid the ransom of our debt. Forgive us our debts. Hallelujah. He forgave our debt. Even on a daily basis when we pray. He is our jubilee. Amen. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me. Is the anointing for jubilee. He says, that anointing, he says, to set the captives free. Debtors, to break chains, to heal, breaks the power. All these debts, open the prison doors. Those are jubilee manifestations. Amen? So why am I sharing this? Just like Israel in the physical I share with you can backslid, the church as a whole, as a body, has backslidden. But individuals have found, there are individuals that have found who they are, gone to the school of the Holy Spirit, and for some reason God has brought them to some freedom where they are influencing the atmosphere of their environment. Some of them we call preachers all over the world today. Big churches, small churches, whatever. They are business people today. Their calling in business is to finance the gospel. They know what that the power of their wealth is not to build the world, it's to build the gospel. They are people today anointed. They know their calling for the kingdom. They finance the kingdom in billions as I'm talking to you. They know their calling. Amen? So my brothers and sisters, we are in a season, started last year, because God gives understanding of times and season. A few years ago, I preached about this. Years ago, in Washington, D.C., in one of our solemn assembly, I preached about Jubilee, preached here. We didn't see much manifestation. But if you believe something for yourself, it can happen for you. But to see a corporate one, it has to be God's timing. Joseph was expecting a Jubilee for himself to enter into a promise. He tried to talk about it. It didn't happen for the next 2 years. But when he wasn't expecting it, God shows up and the king called him and the Jubilee started. 7 years of abundance. So this year, last year, the Lord showed us what to pray for the nation, how to pray, that we're entering into a change. That word change is transformation. We've entered into a season where God is going to change everything. Amen? I don't know if you heard me. We've entered a season from last year. The title is Change, Transformation, where God is going to change everything. Amen? And by changing everything, it causes us to change. Because people are crying for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is crying for God's children to come into the identity, not just sheep, but lions, to rise and enter into the call of God so that the nations can experience deliverance. So what has happened is we are still in the church. We are still about everything that we're about. And now, from last year, God says, I'm going to bring a change. And transformation is a process. I'm going to bring a change. And the change will go like a woman that has come to the time of her birth. When a woman comes to the time of her birth, there's a process of change called birth pains that begins with contractions. Amen? So he said, I will start a change. That change started last year. And God uses different people to bring about the change. In the world we live today, there are three predominant people that is evoking change in the world right now. The seen, they are the unseen. One is Israel, God has called it America, and the other one is Russia, in their various levels. But the big change God wants to bring that will touch everybody is going to come from America. So it started last year. The change has started, but it's contractions. Now, this year, the reason we're praying is because we are partnering with God to cry The next change is about to take place to go to the next level of contractions that will begin to make it look like butt pains. Remember, when a woman is in butt pain, it's not sort of, it's painful, but it's not, it's with joy. Amen. Because she has expectation. Yes. Amen? Amen? So, because we have, as a church, we have abandoned the school to bring us here. And people are crying for the sons of God to come up. Amen? Amen. Since this is what God is going to do. There is this change coming. And what this change will do is going to change the church as we know it today. Because there's going to be a shaking, butt pain in the world. Amen? Amen. And the shaking is going to cause the church to wake up. Yeah. And once we wake up, we begin to say, God, we are ready. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't make sense to you now, but you're seeing change, but you don't know what it is. What you're going to see the next 1 year, it will make more sense to you. Because it will not be hidden anymore. God is going to make the change so noticeable that people will feel it. And the church will start waking up. Some churches will collapse because they are not prepared for it. When COVID took place, it was a test. God allowed that and said, let me see what the church will do. We did exactly what the world did. We all ran, put our covers, put our masks, and hid. Because that's where we are. But God is about to raise up a supernatural people from change that nothing in this world can affect them. So when things are happening in the world, like it happened in the days of Egypt, it can be happening to the world, but it never touches the children of God. Because what is about to come, we have to be distinguished that we are God's children. Amen? And it's going to be glorious. Many will come to God. Many will come to know God. The church, every one of you here that is prepared, you're going to be elevated. You're going to be promoted. You're going to be just like, you know, it's your time. God is going to call you to arise and shine. It's your moment of jubilee. Is the time God is now saying, I forgive you, Isaiah 40. You've gone wrong. I've caused you to suffer everything. But now my compassion, I'm back to my church. I'm going to raise you up. And the glory of this house will be greater than even that of the book of Acts. My brothers and sisters, the sign started last year. This, from now to next year, I will not be the one telling you. You will be the one saying, we can see it. The nations are shaking, but you don't see it yet. You will see it very soon. And God is the one that will allow it. Amen? So, I share this before you because I want to declare in a few words. You see, the power of prophecy is to release a blessing upon you. It's to release expectation. It's to release hope. It's to give you excited hope. So that when a woman is giving birth, when you see these things happening, instead of you being afraid, it's like, oh no, this is the moment we're waiting for. The baby is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elisha received a similar word in a different way when there was famine in Israel. You can go read it in 2 Kings. There was famine, situation was bad, and God showed him that jubilee has come, change has come. Elijah spoke it, and one of the servants of the king, knowing how impossible it is, it's like telling you, everybody in this house, people will walk, people will see, people, you know, all this stuff. It's like, if you've been in it for a long time, you say, I've heard it many times. How is it going to be? The servant said, even if God opens window in heaven, how can this be? But The man of God saw in the spirit. And he just spoke. He's not the one to do it. He spoke. And you know what happened? God sent angels into town, and four lepers just moved in the direction of the Syrians, and the siege was broken. And exactly what the man said in that 24 hours happened. It was impossible, but God made it possible.
Amen.
That's the season. That's why God says Mount Zion will be a miracle center. It's not something that happens just, you know. If first of all, you have to declare it. You have to make the decree because you see it in the spirit. Elijah says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And as he was pushing through, he saw the cloud. From the cloud, he saw the storm cloud coming. And finally, there was a mighty rain. It's a process. So this place is going to be a miracle center. This place is where lions are raised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
It's okay to be sheep, but he says it's both the sheep, the lion and the what? The lamb. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to declare, based on what God has been showing us in this season and what started last year, we're going to the next phase. Amen. You're hearing the shaking, but you don't know what it is. But I'm just telling you, this next year, it will make more sense to you.
Amen.
So if we stand up together, we're going to pray. It's a prophetic day in this day of 21 days of prayer. We have the communion today, Cynthia. We're going to take the communion with a declaration. This is our covenant. This is the promise God has given us. This blood is our jubilee. Amen. It's our covenant. Amen. Please. You are in covenant with God. Hallelujah. This is a covenant promise. It says, though we have sinned, it says, the blood of Jesus washes us. Christ is our jubilee. And he's bringing us to the season where he is canceling our debt. I'm going to declare this morning that God will break impossible situations this year in your life. God will cancel. So all of us, if not all of us, I'm not saying leave here and go try to take loans. No, I'm just saying whatever debt you already have will be canceled because of this blood. Supernatural changes is coming to your life. It's coming to the church. It's coming to Zion.
Amen.
Supernatural, not what we're trying to do in the natural and we're sweating trying to do it. No, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. So I want to declare this day, this season, you are entering into the season of encounter, the season of jubilee. The season of where the impossible are transformed to possibilities.
Amen.
The jubilee of the Lord is upon us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe God is going to raise up Mount Zion to literally be one of the most financially buoyant blessing, not depending on transfer of wealth is coming to this house. Transfer of wealth is coming to your hands. God is going to break the bondage of poverty.
Amen.
Because he says, in this house, the silver and the gold is mine.
Amen.
God is going to bring your children back.
Amen.
God is going to restore that which has been stolen.
Amen.
Miracles will be natural. Because we are in a supernatural season. Now, you pray for headache. It takes 7 days to go away. You take Tylenol and you say, God has blessed. We are not going to use any kind of, because any God wouldn't need help. It will be clear this is a miracle.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
That's the privilege we have as inheritance. And God wants to restore it. If you don't believe it for the whole church, can you believe it for yourself and your family? That this year, because this man of God said it, Believe and it by the word of God.
Amen.
I want you to believe and I want you to declare it. This year, by the blood of the Lamb, by the grace of God, I am entering into the season of Jubilee. The season of uncommon breakthrough. The season of encounters with God. The season of miraculous intervention in my life and my family. The season where God restores the things that are supposed to be mine by inheritance in the Spirit. The season where God turns my captivity around. Turns things around in my life and my family supernaturally. The season of the supernatural. The salvation of my family. Sickness will disappear from our bodies. Infirmities. Because now God says, I will do it. Like he restored the health of Job. The finances of Job. The future of Job. God is still the same yesterday. He's still the same today. And he's the same forever. All things are possible to them that what? Believe. We are heirs of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. We are heirs. We are joined as with the Son. We are children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. I want you to declare that you are an heir of God. You are an heir of God. Forget about the jacket you're wearing now that looks yellow, pink, white, and black. You are an heir of God. Inside of you is the DNA of God that has made you an heir of the kingdom. You have an inheritance that is beyond human capacity. Greater is he that is in you than anything that is in this world. You are an heir of God. My brothers and sisters, receive today in the name of Jesus. Let transformation begin in your mind. Though you are in this world wearing human jacket, but God says inside of you is the lion of the tribe of Judah. You are an heir. It's time to believe and be bold by faith. As we take this communion, my brothers, Jesus says, remember what I did to give you this inheritance. Remember what I suffered to make you a child of God. Remember the price, the stripes I took for you to know my blood still speaks that you are free. You are sons, you are daughters, you are heirs because of this price. Don't take it for granted. You are God's children. This blood is our receipt. Is our the voice of the Lamb speaking today. I have overcome. I have overcome. And you have it in your hands as a testament, as a remembrance. So I declare this day, Father. Father, I thank you that your mercy speaks. You said the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. I thank you that the voice of your blood is declaring to us into this new season. Our debts are canceled. The accusation of sin against your church, against this house, by the blood of the Lamb is canceled. That has brought us into financial debt, sickness debt, every kind of debt that the devil has put upon your church. Today, we declare the year of Jubilee, the year of restoration. This year, we will experience restoration, change, transformation, healing, miracles, breakthrough in, oh, Sharabababa. Rekete manga celebadeiska. Remakes karaba sonderebada. Repekes katarabase. I feel like calling people out here to pray. But this is not about calling one or two people. It's about a corporate release. A corporate blessing. Breakthrough for your children, your family. In the name of Jesus. I declare it not only for Zion, but for the church of Jesus Christ. And those online. In the name of Jesus. I speak to you this day. May the Spirit of the Lord bring you into your year of Jubilee. The year of joy. The year of miracles that will cause you to think you're dreaming. The year where expectations will not be denied. Father, I thank you. Let this miracle center begin. Father, you've started something in the nation. Let it increase. Let the butt pain increase. Because we know it's the revelation of your glory. Father, I thank you. Let everyone at the sound of my voice be awakened to the things you've done to give us this inheritance, this covenant, this blood. Father, bring your children to know they carry your DNA. They carry your life. They carry your strength. They carry the power of your spirit inside of them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for transformation. We refuse to think like humans. Give us the mind of Christ. Awaken us, O God, to your righteousness. Father, we give you all the glory. Yes. We give you all the praise. Yes. Prepare us as we continue. Rain upon us. Yes. Let there be a latter rain of your fire, of your glory, of your power. Make us ready in the midst of bad pains. May you reveal your glory even more. Thank you for the deliverance of our families, our children, our marriages. Oh, Father, let our inheritance be released. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. You can take. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the seal of the blood, the mark of the blood, the protection of the blood, the provision of the blood, the promotion, elevation that comes because of the blood. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for bringing us to a new season. Surprise every one of us in this bracket of year. Let Jubilee be experienced in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.